predictability. The milkman, the paper boy, the evening TV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Binge Watch with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
I'm Jack. Oh, wait, am I Jack? I could be Jack. I don't know who. You know, I don't know who I am right now.
I'm lost. I don't know who I am.
I don't know who I am.
Yes.
I'm strangling myself. Hey, just heads up for anyone
spoiler
who hasn't seen
alert,
this.
By the way.
These are some spoilers. This show will have. If you haven't seen it, stop listening now.
Today we're going to go over Mr. Robot, the USA series, kind of definitely got a lot of people talking. And it was a pretty darn good show. So excited to talk about it here today on Binge Watch with Jay and Jack. There's also going to be a bonus show that I'm going to talk about as far as Binge Watch goes. And that's going to be Fuller House. Also binged that over the weekend. So Jack did not watch that yet, so I'm not going to hold him accountable to it, but I'm going to throw it in there as a bonus.
I was going to try and watch an episode, but I forgot I had to watch Deadwood again. Not Deadwood.
Deadwood, nice.
The Walking Dead. Again for the podcast tonight.
Is it back already? I heard it was coming back. I
the Walking back Deadwood.
The Walking yep. Deadwood.
We'll look one around.
You know, they've done a lot of, you know, kind of crossover type things, and that's
The Walking Deadwood. I think that'd be a great show.
Because, you know, they have Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, you know.
There you go.
I think Walking Deadwood would be pretty good.
Walking Deadwood. You know what? After we get off the air here, I'm going to start working on a script right now for The Walking Deadwood.
So if this is your first time listening to Binge Watch with Jay and Jack, the show basically focuses on one show to binge over a couple weeks, and then we talk about it.
Hold on.
Yes.
Should this be their first time listening to a binge-watch podcast?
Well, maybe they're like, I don't really like, you know, Making a Murderer. I don't really like Narcos, but I liked Mr. Robot. I want to hear what they're talking about. So,
Nope. I can't accept that.
Why can't you accept it?
Because sometimes I have to watch stuff I don't like. Sometimes they have to listen to things they don't like.
Wow.
I'm a little cranky today.
Yeah, what's wrong? Are you still upset that Dale left yesterday?
No, I'm over it.
You know, something that we didn't really get into too much in depth yesterday, because it was really about saying goodbye to Dale. And if you haven't listened yet, Dale's final episode, Dale's happy ending, if maybe you weren't caught up on the Married Man show, sorry, spoiler alert, but Dale has left the building.
That's a bigger spoiler than you're going to hear in Mr. Robot.
Possibly, yeah.
Now they don't even have to listen to that podcast.
Well, we had a good time. We did a live send-off episode titled
"That Was Probably the Best Time We've Had Doing a Podcast in a While."
Yeah, it was a good send-off, a good way to close out the show with Dale. A lot of clips.
Dale had his happy ending, and I had to clean the chair after he left.
The show will go on. I think we've talked about it before, but the Married Man show will continue. And at its core, it will still be a relationship advice show. It'll probably be different because Dale's a unique individual. We're not going to try and kind of repeat what the Married Man show is with Dale. But the relationship advice show will go on, and we're going to have a rotating cast of four guest hosts throughout the closeout, the rest of the season 8 that we started. And you will hear it here first on who it's going to be. First step I'm going to talk about is Nick from our Game of Thrones podcast with JJ.
Nick's your buddy. Nick's your friend. Nick's the guy you go to a ball game with.
Nick Dunn, great guy. And definitely, I think it'll be an interesting perspective to have on the Married Man show. So if you've listened to our Game of Thrones show, or maybe even realized we did a Game of Thrones show last season or brought it back last season.
Hold on. We're talking to people that have not listened to our Game of Thrones podcast.
Well, because again, that was it. Maybe it was off their radar. So, you know, this is.
No? About ready to leave the room here.
But anyway, Nick was a lot of fun to have on, or is a great asset to the Game of Thrones podcast.
Well, you got half of that right.
It'll be great to have him on The Married Man. And
he'll give that Southern charm perspective that you guys need.
Exactly. Whether you want it or not, it'll be there. Next up is a dear friend to the podcast, and was part of our message boards way back in the day. Also a co-host on Media Junkyard, and it's none other than Chris in Boston. Is going to be another one of our guest hosts to close out the rest of the season. Affectionately known as the Banhammer, through our charity shows, charity podcasts that we've done. Really funny guy. If you're a fan of Media Junkyard, a lot of great segments on there that I think will be really great. A great perspective, and he has a potty mouth as well, so he'll fit in very nicely.
And he's a married guy. That would be the first time we've had three married men on the Married Man show at once.
Actually, they were at that moment married. I think so. I think that might be. That might be. Yeah. Again, Nick gives, I think, will give a great single guy perspective, and a dating perspective as well, because I think he's still on the prowl for Mrs. Wright.
And stalking famous people.
So very excited to have Chris in Boston on there. I think he'll be a great guest host to have. The third person is another podcast. I mean, these are all podcasters, so we're not just bringing some guy off the street. But the third person,
we did that once before.
That's true. But the next guest host that we'll have to close out season 8 is a well-known person in the Survivor community. Also has his own Survivor podcast with the Tribe, and has actually been on our Survivor podcast. None other than Shut Up Tim. So very excited to have Shut Up Tim.
That'll be the first time I have podcast with him.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? I don't think I've podcast with him.
No, you've podcasted on the Tribe before, and he was there.
I don't think he was on it, was he?
He might have been.
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
But, so co-host of the Tribe. He also famously does tone-deaf parody songs. You might hear him on the Rob Has a Podcast network or family of shows. So very excited to have him be a part of this. Another married man. So this will again be a triple married man approach here.
Also, he looks great in a Princess Leia outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, he lost a bet. So
I think Damon Lindelof's eyes were burned.
Took him a little while. The reason why the Leftover season 1 was so depressing is because of that moment.
I think you're right. I think that's right. Every time he got behind his computer, that guy in the Princess Leia outfit.
And then our last guest host is another podcaster who hosts Talking Comics. He's actually kind of a longtime friend of Colleen and mine as well. But Brian Verderosa, who is a really funny guy.
Cool last name.
Yeah, it's a good last name. He is currently engaged to be married. Okay. So
we still have time to talk him out of it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, us and the listeners have time to talk him out of it. But again, I think a good perspective to have for relationship advice questions. But also, I think he's a really fun guy. I think across the board here, our three or four guest hosts to come on the Married Man show, I think are going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Again, nobody can replace Dale. We're not trying to replace Dale, but the show will go on. So very excited to have those guest hosts, and I think you guys will be as well. Any other thoughts about that, Jack?
I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. Something new, something, you know, just something fresh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that Dale was stale, but, you know.
I think it's what you're saying. Is that Dale was stale?
Stale? Yeah, I don't want to say that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No, it's just something. It'll be going in a different direction. We'll get back to the meat and potatoes of the show, the relationship part of it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll have our wild moments and crazy times. And
wild and crazy stuff. All of this is made possible by you, the listener, over at patreon.com/JandJack. We have actually, we have 124 patrons bringing over $718 a month. Fantastic work by you, the patrons, in making this show possible. And you know, it's funny, you know, part of it is our spiel and why we do it, because this is what we actually kind of pay the podcasters with, kind of make them happy. So it says, then please consider pledging to help with some of the costs, such as hosting fees and keeping talent like Dale Warm Taffy happy. Thank you. I guess we didn't meet that goal.
We didn't meet those expectations.
We should have made that one of the levels, like, keep Dale on the show, $2,000 a month.
It probably would have done, because it seemed like people, you know, a lot of people were upset that he's leaving. We did, and like you said, it's part of, you know, we did everything we could to try to accommodate. It just wasn't going to fit. It wasn't going to work. So,
yeah. So, but we thank all of our patrons that make this possible. I think our next one was the live Married Man show, but I think we're going to change those around a little bit. So now that the Married Man show, we actually did the live Married Man show, I think maybe we'll put Jack's Wild Ride up at $1,000 per month. We'll have Jack's Survivor Audition.
No. That was part of the deal, was that we had to hit a total where I felt like it was worth me being embarrassed.
What, $1,000 a month wouldn't be worth it?
No. No.
Maybe we'll make $1,000. See if we hit $1,000, then we can pay Dale enough to come back and do a one-off special podcast.
I don't think there's enough to pay Dale off. I don't think so.
Well, either way, we'll look at it and we'll kind of reconfigure the milestone goals, which I think will be fun. Now that things have kind of changed up a little bit in our podcast rotation. All right, enough talking about other things. Now it's time to dig into Mr. Robot. Jack, are you ready?
Always ready.
Nothing else. Okay.
I'm always. What, you ask me a question? I'm always ready.
I feel like, but it's just the way you left it. Kind of was like you were.
Well, I'm looking. I have to repaint the studio. And as you were speaking, I was listening.
Uh-huh. No, you weren't. But
I could do two things at once. But I was looking at what I have to do to fix this room up and get it, you know, back to where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now it became a storage room because we had no room. But now that my oldest daughter has moved out, your sister, we have more room now.
Yes,
so I can get rid of some of this stuff. Well, I say there's stuff in here that she was going to take, so I held it here for like a year and a half, and it turns out I don't want it, which always puts a smile on my face.
All right, well, Jack, just initial thoughts. What'd you think of the show?
I liked it. I liked it. Sometimes I liked it a lot. Other times I was like going, okay, what is going on? Then sometimes I figured out what was going on. Sometimes I thought I had it figured out what was going on. And I could pretty much guess what was going on with Mr. Robot. I didn't guess that. Which, can we start saying it?
Well, let's just say the premise is about this. It focuses on Elliot, who is this hacker. And he has social anxiety disorder and depression, and he does drugs, and he kind of gets enlisted by this guy called Mr. Robot, which is played by Christian Slater. The goal is to kind of cancel everybody's debts by having this big hack against E Corp, which he calls Evil Corp. Kind of the big twist is, or one of the big twists,
Mr. Robot is his dad who passed away 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And they had a falling out when he was 8, right?
Yep.
He had cancer, and his because they were best friends, and his dad said, hey, don't tell anybody. But the little 8-year-old Elliot said, told people, and well,
told his mom. Dad,
told his mom, and his dad stopped talking to him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of harsh.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's definitely, you know,
you know, they don't really go too much into backstory, but they give you enough to understand why he has issues, why he is the way he is.
Yeah.
But the whole, because I'll wait till we get to this binge worthy. I'll get to my thing that, but I liked the show and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It would be an excellent show to podcast about.
Yeah, because there's definitely like a lot of
because there's so much going on, and it's so much mystery, and you're trying to figure this out, and a lot of the computer stuff is over my head, so I just kind of went with the flow on that one. it was fascinating. It was a fascinating show.
Yeah, definitely. In the post In the post Sixth Sense, post Fight Club world,
right.
The whole Mr. Robot being his father, like Colleen and I kind of figured that out. I think it was episode 2 where I realized when he was at the bar, the bartender didn't really pay attention to Christian Slater.
Right.
And I was like, why is Christian Slater just always kind of off to the side or in the background? He's not really interacting with anybody else. And I was like, oh. And then I thought it was his father once he pushed him into the water.
Now, so yeah, that's when I realized he wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
When he pushed him into the water, because nobody reacted. How would you? And then he went back and worked with him.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. And I wasn't getting the father thing. I go, well, it has to be somebody he trusts.
Yeah.
Or it just has to be because...
Really? Because I thought the father thing was like hitting you over the head because the first episode is like, my father was the only person I could talk to who's my only
right.
friend.
And I get that, but he had a weird relationship with him, Mr. Robot, at first. He mm-hmm. kept leaving him. And I'm like going, oh, it took me longer. It took me like the fifth episode. I go, I bet you that's his dad.
I'm kind of disappointed. I thought you would have gotten that one quicker.
I know, and I'm just like going, but I like I said, I realized he was fake when he pushed. That was when he pushed him off. I go, oh, that can't be real.
Yeah,
he can't be real. Like I said, oh, he just pushed him. He just jumped himself because he tells the story.
Yeah,
and he jumps off the thing, and I go, oh, okay, that's what's going. Because and then the way he talks to you, the viewer.
Yep.
He's. I go, okay. Now he's talking to me. He's talking to this, and. This will go into my whole thing that's binge-worthy when I get to it. But, yeah, I there's so much going on that I was, okay, this, that. So, but I didn't catch on to, like, the fifth one. I go, is he the father? Yeah, because he would be about that. I go, he is older, but, you know, but is he older than him? And do you notice that Christian Slater talks less like Jack Nicholson than he used to?
Well, you know, he won a Golden Globe for his performance, so maybe he's dialed back.
Well, he's excellent.
Christian Slater. Oh, he's fantastic.
He's fantastic. He's a great actor.
I've
always liked Christian Slater, but he had last had the Jack Nicholson talk or Christian Slater talk. But the cast is great. The cast is excellent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cast is fantastic. Really well paced, and it's kind of like when I was watching the whole thing, it felt like a good like Netflix show or a good. Kind of streaming show. It didn't because right. USA for a while their whole thing was like characters welcome, and they had shows like Psych, which again I love Psych. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like this, you know,
a Burn Notice.
But again, that's kind of like more of the fun shows. Does that make sense? Like it's not like this is more of a
it had action
AMC type show or HBO or Netflix kind of drama.
Yeah, it had a lot going on. I agree.
It's so definitely the pacing of it felt very movie like. The way it was shot felt very movie like. I love how they did the title sequences and how it kind of the music kind of changed per episode.
Right.
Really enjoyed that. What did you think about kind of their mission? Like it, where was F Society bad guys or good guys? You know, because I think you could kind of toss it up either way.
I'm not an economist, but I think in the end it would be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have people have Social Security. Well, how are these old people going to recover? How are these, you know, if you have a meltdown to this, what is going to happen here?
Mm-hmm.
It affects, you know, what you're trying to do. Okay, yeah, let's raise everyone's debt. Well, you know, some people have debt because it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have debt because they're, you know, if someone has debt because they have medical bills, yeah, okay, let's raise their debt.
Yeah.
I mean, I get there's certain things, yeah, good, bad, but you can't just, I don't think you can just wash it across the board, debt. I mean, I'd be okay if mine got washed out.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's people that depend on, you know, they have retirement funds and people work their whole life and they have this retirement, well, that's gone.
Yeah.
We're all starting from scratch. If I'm 70 years old, how am I going to... What am I going to do for a job? How am I going to survive? So it's not necessarily a good thing. I get what they're trying to. They're you know trying to knock the big guys down
mm-hmm.
a notch. But as you do that, it does trickle down and knock down everybody.
Hey, don't say trickle down.
You have to say it does trickle down. It does affect everybody when you do something like that. If you wipe out everyone's 401k, well. I'm just a middle class guy with a 401k. You knock me down. What am I going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's,
how am I going to survive? And you're going to have you can't just do it a blanket boom like that. It just I get you want to try and make things more of a level playing field, but
well, it's kind of like a Robin Hood kind of idea, right?
Right. It is a Robin Hood idea, but you know there wasn't you know it was different back in Robin Hood's day. You stole from the rich and gave to the poor. It was like okay, just. You know, but you're doing this, it affects everybody.
But did you like it in the sense that for Elliot's character, this company killed his father? So to him,
right.
I think it was more about just taking out the company that killed his father.
Exactly. And that's what he was trying to do. And, but, you know, I think the opening scene, we forgot about talking about the opening first episode. The opening pulled me into this episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw that a while back. I watched the first 15 minutes. And then I forgot to record it, so I fell behind. But it didn't record the whole thing. Whatever it did, I didn't get the whole recording, so I said, I'll just go back and watch it on another day.
Mm-hmm.
But that scene where he's talking to that was it restaurant owner?
Yeah, well, it's like a coffee shop owner.
Coffee shop owner. And he's got you know children porn, and he's selling it to people. And he has them arrested, which is a great thing. And it just was a great scene between that actor and him. It was a fantastic scene how he draws him in and what's he doing, and he didn't really want money, he just wanted justice.
Yep.
He just wanted him to go to jail, and I said, and that's what got me into the episode, the whole it just that was a it's almost like justified for me. It was the first scene, boom, I'm in, I'm
yeah
good.
No, absolutely, the first scene pulls you right in. And again, it does kind of have it's a good kind of podcast show.
It's an excellent podcast show.
Because there's just so much to kind of dissect in every episode. You know, there's just so much going on. And I think that's what, to me, at least from a binging show perspective, I actually didn't get a chance to watch the show until the weekend. And I watched 8 episodes on a Sunday. So I truly binged this show because like each one was like, well, I got to see what happens next. I got to see what happens next.
I was like,
I gotta see what happens next.
But I was watching them late at night.
Okay.
Like 2 o'clock. So I'd watch one. I go, I can't stay up and watch it.
See, I started like at 1 o'clock on Sunday. That was probably my problem. It's just like, well, I got to see, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. And I didn't stop till like 1 o'clock in the morning on, in early Monday morning. But it's just, everything is just like, oh, I got to see, I got to see, I got to see. And I'll say just overall, it was just a really, really fun journey in following this character and seeing. You know, his neuroses or his dissociative personality disorder, and how they kind of, I like how they portrayed it on the screen. Like it felt real. Like you kind of felt what he was feeling. It didn't feel disingenuous. What do you think about that?
I thought it was the way they did it was perfect, and they didn't really show that he was actually fighting. You know, at the end they show you where he's strangling himself. He's in that coffee mm-hmm. shop. He's doing all this different stuff, and you go, and it becomes real that okay, all right, yeah, they've admitted this is what it is.
Yeah,
you know, they're not hiding it. They're just, I mean, we knew, but they really this okay, this is what it is. This is what's going on. So I like the fact they didn't keep dragging that out and, you know, making us think stuff. But the thing is, I go, okay, I'll ask you this: is the sister real?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, because she says at the end, she goes with that whole group she's with. They go, because they're upset that he's not there. We're alive. I said, okay, is she alive?
Yes.
But is she real? But then what confirmed it for me is when you see the picture of Elliot, his mom, and his dad, she's pregnant.
Oh, I totally missed that.
So because I was going to go, okay, is she real? Is she not real? And I had a feeling that she was someone, I almost said, I think that's his sister. Because he just felt comfortable, or he was. There was something with, not like a lover type thing, because when he kisses her, she freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she's about ready to press the button,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Robot doesn't want to press the button, and he goes over there and he calms her down. I go, all of a sudden he's listening. You know, he's listening to listens to her. But when they were on the subway, and she's leaning on him because he doesn't like to be touched.
Yep.
And he had no problem with her. I go, there's some relationship there. There's something there going on. But when she walked into the, but then I was like, okay, is she real? Because then she walks into the ballet thing
mm-hmm.
with what's her character's name, is it Angela?
Yeah.
No, not Angela. Is it Angela?
No, which are you talking about? His childhood friend, Angela. Childhood. Yeah, Angela Moss.
Angela. Yeah. So I go, well, how do they know each other? But I met. I forgot to tell everybody. I skipped episode 6 by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like going, what is going on here? I didn't realize till I got to episode 8 that I had missed an episode.
So I thought, I had first thought they were sister when he goes into his, I think it's the second episode where she's in his shower and he opens the sliding door when she's in the shower. It's like, ew, gross, don't look at me and go away. I was like, that's something like a sister would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was like, oh, that was like, you know, a sister thing. So,
but her character was so weird.
Yeah.
In the beginning that you're like going, okay, what is she doing in his apartment?
And
he seems shocked that she's in the apartment.
Yes. But again, then you kind of look at it. And I think what was kind of cool about USA and how they did, they had a commentary from the show creator and showrunner, Sam Esmail.
Yeah, watch any of that. I didn't watch any of that.
You didn't? Okay. But he was like talking about that scene where she's going into the ballet with Angela as more of like a setting up reveal scene that he is his sister because she knows Angela. Why would she know Angela? Right. When did that happen? Right. It's either like off putting and confusing. Cause like, wait a second, when did they become friends or when did they know each other?
Well, cause you see her steal the gun from her hookup.
Yeah.
And then the next thing she's staring at Angela. I go, is she going to shoot Angela?
Mm-hmm.
Then she walks over. And then Angela kind of gives her a look like, I go, well, she's going up to her little balance beam thing.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called.
Bar.
Bar. And she looks at her and I go, do they know each other? Is she really there? Are they really there? Because this show really gets you thinking.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But I thought it was, they were, like I said, they were hitting you over the head the whole time. But, you know, sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't.
Another fascinating character on this show is Tyrell Wellick, played by Martin Wallstrom, but he's the senior vice president of technology at E-Corp. And he just, his kind of story arc through this just seemed like is it George Underwood? From A House of Cards. I'm messing up Underwood's first name. It just seems like him trying to be this guy that is gonna, you know, play the bad political game and work his way to the top, but he just seemed to fail miserably. Frank Underwood.
Yeah, Frank Underwood. I was reading the different names on here, sorry.
But it didn't seem like he was kind of doing an Underwoods kind of approach with his wife, and they're kind of this quest for power, and, you know, they're playing these head games with people.
His wife wanted him to blackmail. It's like when he walks in and she's going to he makes that statement to her. If I was married, how do you not blow your head off when you're married to this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's in the bathroom and she's going to the restroom and he just walks in and stares at her and says, thanks for the nice evening.
Yeah. But she spreads her legs.
Yeah, she spreads her legs. I said, oh, she is interested.
Yeah.
Then he just walks out and she kind of looks like, okay. That was bizarre.
So it was just kind of
He was his character was, it was really bizarre.
Did we need
his character? There's so much crazy stuff going on in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Did we need him?
When you look at the entirety of the season, it was Tyrell and Elliot that
right.
did
yeah right
you know finish but it, the hack.
It was just like, okay, this guy's just driving me crazy.
But again, it was just this kind of story of this guy that was so close, worked so hard to get somewhere, and then he was like had everything within his grasp, but he just kind of lost it. He lost control of the situation and just spiraled out of control and crashed and burned.
You gotta like the fact his wife has a baby,
mm-hmm.
and as they're in there looking at the baby, she goes, "You need to leave."
Yeah,
unless you can fix this.
Yeah,
because he wasn't supposed to kill her.
No, he wasn't.
But then he killed her, and he was like, I thought for sure he was going to take her and throw her off the roof.
Yeah.
Because he'd said that, you know, there's no cameras up there, no one will see you, and they're going back and forth, and then they start making out, and I go, oh, he is going to blackmail her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he choked her. I go, what's he doing? He didn't want to do it, like his wife was making him do it. That was his wife's plan, not his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was lashing out at the woman he killed.
Well, when he talked to Elliot, like he was talking about the power that he felt when he did it, and
right.
So obviously, it didn't work. Like the power play they did by having the dinner with him didn't work. So the guy, saw right into it. The wife told him what was going on. It backfired.
Right.
And it was Scott Knowles was the character.
You want to shoot your blow your brains out if you have to be married to him.
Yes. But he's just like, and I thought the guy there was a great scene between Scott and Tyrell, when he's kind of he calls him out on it because his wife told him what happened. He says, "What are you trying to do?" And he tries to get a reaction out of him, but Tyrell doesn't really give it to him. So then Scott offers to give him the watch that he has. And he's
this is the episode I missed.
Oh, you missed that?
The sixth episode.
Well, either way, it was just a really good kind of power play move because he commented on his watch when he first started, and when he left, he's like, "Here, take this watch. I think you need it. You could sell this and pay off the rest of your mortgage on your house. That little two bedroom in Chelsea." Just basically kind of just put him in his place.
Right.
And said he's just kind of like a commoner, essentially. But it was a really cool scene. But in the end, Tyrell lost his cool and murdered his wife, Sharon Knowles, which it's still kind of that was left unresolved. He said the last thing he had, because the police are kind of going after him, is speak to my lawyers, leave me alone. So we'll see how that plays out. But
speak to my lawyer, leave me. But he did wipe her lips off, all his DNA.
He said, unless you have any evidence, talk to my lawyers. Yeah. Otherwise, leave me alone. So.
Well, that's after he got fired.
That is after he got fired, yeah. So he lost everything, but to your point, is he a necessary character? Maybe he's going to be playing into season two, because I think that's the person that was knocking on Elliot's door in the last scene. That's my theory on who was knocking on the door.
I agree with you.
Because to your point, otherwise, it's just kind of this, it's a story within a story, and does it have...
I'm already confused enough. Do you have to bring in this psycho guy that's just this like drive? I want to smack him.
Another interesting part is the Mr. Robot was actually talking to Tyrell at one point, which is the first time Mr. Robot was talking to somebody by himself.
Right.
So we know that's Elliot talking to him, but why was he talking to him from the perspective of Mr. Robot?
I don't know. Got me on that one.
Does Tyrell know that it's Mr. Robot versus?
Well, he said Elliot. He says he knows his secrets, right?
Yeah.
He said, "I know your secrets."
So is that the secret?
I think he knows. He's done his research on Elliot. Mm-hmm. I think he knew Elliot from the start when he first meets him at is it Allsafe?
Yeah, Allsafe, the company.
Allsafe. When he meets him there, and he picks out Elliot to talk to. I think he knew all about Elliot then.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they had talked before and Elliot didn't remember. Who knows?
Well, that's just kind of tough from the actor that plays him is Rami Malek, and he does a fantastic job. I lost my train of thought there. But no, it's just... Yeah, I lost it. I'm sorry.
We were talking about how they first maybe they met or did.
Sorry, that's right. So it's hard because Elliot's mind is so messed up and his memories are so jaded, and you don't know what he knows. That you're right. They could have been meeting before and they could have had full conversations, but we don't know.
We don't know because when his sister says, "Have you been taking? You haven't been taking meds. What are you doing with them?"
Yeah,
and Mr. Robot, his dad says, "Don't take your meds because that's how you forget about. That's how you don't see me. That's how you don't. They want you to do that. They want you to take." So he's paranoid about the whole thing, and it's just an interesting. It's a really he's an interesting character.
Yeah,
Elliot. I mean, it's just a fascinating character. How everything that's going on, but there's so much going on. You're like going, okay, like you said, did they know each other? I think they probably have talked to each other before. That's how, and he probably knows Elliot's background. He did research on him and knows that Elliot doesn't remember a lot of things. He probably hacked into the thing because, when he was telling Gloria Rubin's character, his psychiatrist, about all this stuff. I hacked in your thing. I did this. I did that. It was just, it's just an amazing, there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost not a long enough episode to get everything in there.
Another character that kind of was gone too soon was Shayla Nico, in that kind of storyline, which she was killed in episode six or seven.
It was six because I didn't see her get killed. I saw her get kidnapped in five, but six.
We don't see her get killed. It's just kind of revealed that she was killed in the trunk of the car. Yeah, so that was just it was kind of a sweet story that he had a girlfriend. He was trying to be normal, but it just ended up not working out.
Well, I like how they go back to the episode where it's something they haven't talked in a month about, or whatever it is, and they're showing how they first met.
Yeah.
She's all over the place, and she's talking and talking and talking, and he opened up and talked to her. But the sad thing is she's trying to change her life. She's getting a job, and she gets killed because, he threw the guy in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, sad, but...
Well, again, I see why he threw her in jail, because he's basically, raping her by drugging her.
Right.
And she doesn't know it, so...
No.
That's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing.
Because Elliot didn't want to kill anybody.
No.
Remember when they first talked about going into a thing, they wanted to blow everything up. They go, no, we'll kill innocent people. And he said, no, there's another way. There's another way in. Oh, when he tore into that security guard. Or not the security guard.
Oh, yeah,
guard,
yeah.
Was,
oh,
was it,
man.
Not security guard. It was Bill, the guy. I was like, oh, my God. It was so the guy's face. I can't remember who the actor. I don't know who the actor was, but the guy was William or Bill of his character.
Yeah,
I felt bad for him.
Oh yeah,
he was just laying into him. But that was almost what's his name was doing. Wellick. That's how his attitude was towards people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, I think it's that hacker mentality, and it was an interesting view on that hacker culture of. The weakness in the system is the people.
Right.
And so Elliot knew the sensitive information about that Bill or whatever, and he took advantage of it.
Right.
And,
but like,
and made him feel horrible.
I like how he's ready to apologize, but his dad says, don't apologize. It's really not his dad. It's him. Don't apologize. Okay.
Another awesome character that I really kind of almost the true hero of the story is Gideon Goddard, played by Michael Gill, who, what TV show was he on?
He was on several shows, but he was on a show that I like, and I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but he was on House of Cards.
Ah, okay.
He was also a Person of Interest, All My Children.
Well, anyway, I really liked this character, because he seemed like the only genuine person that was trying to do good.
He was the president on House Cards, right?
Yeah, he's the president. Yes. But he's the CEO of All Safe Security, and I like his character in the sense that he's just kind of torn because he seems to be the only one, like trying to do the right thing or the noble thing.
Yeah. Well, he's also trying to protect his company.
But he's doing it in the sense that his company is it employs all these people and it's important, and so I liked his character a lot. I thought it was. In the sea of very gray area people, are they good? Are they bad?
Well, and also he tries to lend a helping hand out to Elliot.
Yes.
And Elliot is kind of appreciating it. But yeah. And they also talked when they're on the plane, too, and it was a nice little, conversation. But then he started thinking that Elliot was behind everything.
Which, again, is wise, because he was.
He was, and he goes... How come it's always you? It centers around you. How come you didn't come in the room when he did the whole thing?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I like that character a lot. But honestly, my favorite character might be one that was on a short amount of time. But B.D. Wong, who you know from which TV show?
Law and Order.
Law and Order.
That's you. Yeah, I knew that. I go, that's a guy. Oh, that's that actor.
Yeah. So he plays White Rose, a transgender woman, head of the Dark Army. She has this time fetish or time thing. That's just like that's her tick.
Time is
Time is important.
But I just thought it was a really cool character for the short amount of time. But the big reveal, I think, was the post-credits scene of the last episode.
I almost stopped watching.
Well, same here. Like, as I actually, the credits started rolling. Like, let me get the vacuum. I'm going to vacuum up the rug. And I was like, wait, is it still going on? So I had to rewind it and back up. But there's this post-credits scene where it's this this mansion, and this car pulls up, and this guy walks in. I'm like, is that B.D. Wong? It kind of looks like B.D. Wong. But it seems like, you know, all these well-to-do people definitely feel secret society. And then there's a conversation between White Rose and the CEO of E-Corp, Philip Price.
I liked his character. He was bizarre, too.
The CEO, yeah.
When he told Angela the guy had killed himself.
Yeah.
And he goes, gives her money, goes, go get some shoes.
Yeah.
You're going to want to get other shoes.
Well, then Angela's kind of has a little bit of a turn there with, you know, she's in the shoe shop and the guy's just kind of like shaming her the whole time. He's like, you know what, screw you. Go get me the Prada shoes. You know?
Yeah. And he goes, okay.
But this kind of post-credit scene between White Rose and Philip Price where, you know, Philip Price says he knows who did it and he's going to take care of them. And White Rose says this story of, was it Nero the Emperor? And he watched an instrument much like that. And they say he listened to that instrument as he watched Rome burn.
Right.
So very interesting that the leader of the Dark Army, the person that helped fulfill whatever that attack was on E-Corp, is there in this meeting of, or this room full of very important people.
Well, Philip Price doesn't seem to be too concerned that everything's going downhill.
Yeah.
So he's probably have got something where he protected himself or something. Maybe he bought a bunch of gold.
Well, Angela asked him, like, why are you so calm? And he basically said this is like a small thing. The people in power like us are the ones that usually come out ahead, et cetera, et cetera. Something that's paraphrasing. Right. But that he doesn't seem concerned about it. So it'll be interesting to see in season two, you know, what is the fallout from
I think the people walking around those masks are still going to be in bad shape.
All of the people? Because it seems like there's thousands of people.
Well, they're just
millions of people.
I don't think they'll be any better off.
Well, yeah, it's just like anything. Whenever you cause a revolution, you know, what's the aftermath of that revolution? Sometimes you have, you know, the United States Revolution against the old United Kingdom, which worked out pretty well for the United States. And sometimes you have ones that don't work out so well. So
what side will this be on? But it did take a while for it to take hold.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it took decades for
it to get stable. It took a while. So it's not instant gratification.
The Brits came back and, you know, burnt down the White House in 1812.
Yeah. Luckily, Dolly Madison saved us the picture of George Washington, or we wouldn't know what our $1 bill was. It's on the $1 bill.
I'm sure there would have been other paintings that could have used.
That was it. That was it.
That was their one chance. Without that, things completely change.
You'd have James Madison on the $1 bill.
Ugh. I'm glad. Okay. You're right.
What's wrong with James Madison?
Boring. He's one of the boring presidents. James Madison, really?
He did quite a bit. My high school is named after James Madison.
Oh, see, that's bias. You're just biased because...
No, I didn't spend a lot of time there, so what do I care? It took me a while. I went, oh.
Also really liked Gloria Rubin, who plays Krista Gordon, Elliot's psychiatrist. What do you think about that kind of storyline?
She's an excellent actress.
She is.
I like her when she meets with that guy where...
Yes, the last Elliot, episode, right? Or the second to last episode.
The last episode, because Elliot takes his dog, because the guy's being a jerk to the dog. He's lifting it up like this, and Elliot goes, you're going to... Because I guess he's seeing seven women on the side, and he goes, you're going to send, you know, our note, and you're going to tell her what happened, and tell her the truth, and I'll need one more thing. And he looks down at the dog, and he takes the dog. So this guy's all mad because, you know...
But he was kind of a jerk to the dog anyway, so he's just kind of a crappy person.
He tries to sweet talk Gloria Rubin's character into, you know, hey, we can get, because he's trying to find this guy and get him arrested.
Yeah.
And She goes, what are you going to tell him? And she goes, I thought she was going to give in.
I thought so, too.
Because they did love each other.
Yep.
And
I mean, he was playing hard. He was playing hard.
He was doing the old, you know, smooth talker guy.
Yeah.
And she shot him down.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
He has my dog!
But again, you were a jerk to the dog, so what do you expect?
Yeah.
Even though I thought it was funny that Elliot didn't really know how to take care of it, I was like, you might have bit off more than you can chew there, buddy.
When he was peeing and pooping on his bed?
Yeah. I was like, yep, that's why I don't want a dog. Children are more than enough.
Dogs don't always run around peeing and pooping on your bed.
Yeah, they do.
Anyway.
But anywho, what did you think about the final episode and kind of at least where they left it? You know, sometimes shows like this that have all of this build up and leading to this kind of big reveals and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes the last episode, does it land? Do you feel that Mr. Robot landed? Well,
I think it did because you want to see what happens. You want to see what happens next season.
Mm-hmm.
It had great cliffhangers. It had we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened to Weller, right? Or Wellick?
We don't.
We don't know what happened to Wellick. I thought when he opened up the trunk, Wellick was going to be dead in there.
Yeah.
When he opened up, I thought Elliot.
I was thinking that too. Yeah.
I said, oh, he killed him. He was shocked that he wasn't in there.
Yep.
It's like he's trying to remember what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't figure out what had happened. Then he found the sunglasses and all that different stuff that had the zip drive on it. And you don't know what's going on with what's going to happen with the world economy. What's going to happen? And they showed, what's funny is it's make believe, but they showed all the world leaders, you know.
Yep.
Of today.
Yep.
So it's obviously happening today in make believe world.
It's an alternate universe.
What's going to happen with his sister? But they did leave it where, okay, is his sister real? But then, like I said, if they wouldn't have shown the mom, I thought they did because when she said, oh, we're alive, I go, wait. She says we're alive.
Exactly. So they're alive.
And there's so much. But go get back to Elliot. There's so much going on in his head. He doesn't remember his sister. He's like this. He goes, there's just so much going on.
But the difference is her sister has interacted with so many people.
I get that.
Concurrently with Elliot and without Elliot.
I get it. But I'm just like going. But I believe she is. I believe she's real because I saw the mom pregnant. At least she looked pregnant. And she was on an episode of The Leftovers, the actress.
Who was she on The Leftovers?
I just looked up her name because I couldn't figure out who she was, but she just like a guest.
Oh, okay.
Not a big role, just guest. And it was during the depressing season.
Well, and also did you hear there was the piano version of Where's My Mind, which was used extensively in Leftovers.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
I liked it. I said, no, okay, it's stealing from Leftovers. Nice.
Well, I don't know when that one aired. They might have been airing around the same time. I don't know for sure. But still, it's a great little cover.
But like I said, it has so much going on, and it can. I was like, okay, if they end the world, and there's chaos, what's going to happen? But I hope Christian Slater. I hope his dad's still in the picture, because Christian Slater's excellent in this.
I think so. He's a good. Again, yeah. I mean, he won a lot of awards, rightfully so. I think he will be. I think he's. It's called Mr. Robot, and that is the personification of Elliot's character of Mr. Robot.
Right.
Were you disappointed that there was no robots in this? Because I thought it was about a robot, to be completely honest.
No, when I first heard the prep, saw the Mr. Robot, I go, oh, he's like, and when I first saw him, the first scene, I go, oh, he's like a robot. He's like, his mind works like a robot. That's what I got right away.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I wasn't disappointed there wasn't robots in this movie.
Because I guess just when I...
You know what? You know what, Jay? Go watch Lost in Space. There's a robot in every episode, and you'll be happy.
I wasn't disappointed. It was just more like not knowing anything about the show.
They didn't have a robot in this show. I'm not watching it.
No, it was just like not knowing anything about the show and just seeing Mr. Robot and then the actor that plays Elliot... Kind of, he plays a very cold character. So like
he's a robot.
Well, the little clips that I saw of Rami Malek playing Elliot Alderson kind of is like, oh, so he's like, is he an android? And then like Christian Slater is like his programmer. But again, so that was just like glancing at scenes and the title. That's what I came up with in my mind, but it didn't end up being anything like that. But it's still very good.
He was in Pacific, and he plays a he's a little out there in Pacific.
Well, he's got that kind of like, you know, big eyes, and he plays that type of character well. But he did a great.
Well,
job
he's got big eyes, so he has he's forever gonna have to play crazy people.
Don't stare at me. You got the bug eyes.
Get the bug.
Janine, sorry about the bug eyes thing. I'll be in my office.
But he's a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
He has this scene in Pacific that's really kind of nasty. It's I won't say it, but it's disturbing.
Okay. All right. So now it is time to decide, is this show binge-worthy? Action Jackson, what do you think? Is it binge-worthy?
Okay, this is where I have... Where I'm going to probably, well, I'm going to go two ways with it.
Okay.
If you're just into just watching a TV show and not analyzing it, yeah, binge it. But if you're like me and you want to, okay, what's going on here? And I want to go back and watch scenes and watch, but when I'm having to watch it fast, and sometimes I have to kind of, okay, I'm running out of time tonight. I got to watch this. I got to finish this episode. And you know, you're paying attention, but you're not paying attention. No, it's not. If I was podcasting about this show each week, no way I'd binge watch it this is a show you have to watch, I think, two or three times to get everything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much going on. I mean, there's just so much, and there's clues you miss, and you look back and you go, okay, if I would have solved that, I would have solved that. If you could, you know, if you go on and talk with people too, it's like, you know, we do the Lost podcast. Sometimes mm-hmm. someone would say something and go, I didn't even think about that. You know, and they would get other theories going on. There's a lot of theories because people were sending us messages saying this would be a great show to podcast about. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know, you know, but then when you watch, you go, yeah, this would be a good, because it has that mystery. It has the characters and the characters are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, is it wrong? Are they good? Are they bad? It's really hard to tell who's the good guys, who's the bad guys in this. But yeah, for me, I would rather not have had to binge watch this one.
Mm-hmm.
I just watch it each week, and then maybe, okay, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch that again, which I would have probably have done.
Yeah.
Just having to, because I didn't leave myself enough time to, like you had to watch it in one day, but I finished the last four or five episodes in one night. So mm-hmm. I finished it this morning. I woke up and watched the final one this morning.
Nice. Okay, I think that's fair. I think that's fair in the sense that, you know, sometimes a show needs a little bit more time than just kind of running through it really quickly. Cliffhanger was just kind of like, okay, this is a cliffhanger. Now, it's definitely like it leaves you wanting more.
Right, where they're not force-feeding you. We're like going, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say for me, definitely binge-worthy, but I really like your perspective in the sense that it does require pretty intense viewing. It's like you have to pay attention. Like for me, I couldn't do anything else while watching this show. Like I couldn't be surfing the net. Like you really have to pay attention. You really have to, because there's so many clues. There's so many little things being thrown in there. So if it's something where you'd like to kind of marinate in it a little bit longer, maybe it's not the best binge type show. But either way, it's still a show that you can binge. So I do see where you're coming from. I'm going to still say it's binge worthy.
But it's not a show for everyone.
No, because it's dark, you know. It's definitely, it has some, but it's not as, like, some people were talking about, like, saying it was really dark. It didn't seem that dark to me.
No, I didn't think it wasn't as dark as season one of Leftovers.
Yeah, exactly. Season one of Leftovers, like, I was way more depressed. So
it just has you wondering. I mean, for me, it had me thinking. It's like, okay, what's going on? Okay, is he real? Is he not real?
Yeah.
Is this going to be an episode? Is this going to be a whole show at the end where he's just
it's
all in his head. He's just sitting in a room. I go, if they do that, I'm going to be ticked.
Yeah.
But he's sitting in a room and he's in some insane asylum and he's just sitting there like just staring at a, you know, a thing like a. I think where Hurley was at, and he's the island thing, and that people have that theory that it was just all in Hurley's head. I go, if this is the thing where it's just in his head, I'm going to be ticked off.
Yeah,
I will. But I didn't think it was going to go that way because it was too smart of a show.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking that for a while. I go, all right, all these characters are just made up, and because the way he was talking, yeah, because he was even talking to the viewer sometimes, like he was. Well, you saw that. You knew what was going on there. They talked to you and dragged you into the story.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really clever. Because, oh, yeah, did you see that? I didn't see that. Did you see it? And you're like going, wait, what did I not see?
Yeah.
So, and I didn't have time to go back and rewind and go, okay, what did I not see? and I don't know. Did you watch on USA Network's website?
No. There's a USA Network app on the new Apple TV, so I watched it on that.
Okay, I watched it on their network. And the first four or five shows... episodes, very little commercials.
Oh, same for me.
As it went on,
more and more. Yep.
Or it's like every 7 minutes, I go, I got 3 minutes of commercials. I go, come on.
But yeah, like the first like half of the season, I was like, oh, it's barely any commercials. This is great. I'm going straight. And then the last episode, I felt like because on the Apple TV, it show you seconds. So like one of the commercials had 188 seconds. I was like, geez, Louise.
Yeah, we'll be back in 3 minutes. I go, what? So it really did kill the flow of the show.
Yeah,
it's one of those shows. You know, I know they got to make money, and I'm all for shows. You know, we're enjoying their stuff. We should pay for it somehow.
Yeah, agreed.
But when you're watching a show like this, the commercials just kill it. I wish I would have recorded them all on my DVR and just fast forward to the commercials. Here's $10. Let me. I'm not buying this stuff anyway.
Yep. Agreed. All right, so my bonus show that I wanted to talk about was Fuller House. It's a new show on Netflix, but it's like
I'm going to tell you, I watched it and I cried the whole time.
So it is a kind of, not a spin-off, but a continuation of the ABC Friday night TGIF show, Full House, which starred Bob Saget, John Stamos, Dave Coulier, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen,
Candace Cameron.
Candace Cameron, thank you. Relative to the crazy Kirk Cameron, so they got that going for him, which is nice.
He crazy? Maybe he's the original Mr. Robot.
Maybe he is. Just in terms of what I've heard that he did on his show, what didn't seem to be the kindest individual.
Well, that's what I heard. As long as we have each other. You and me.
But it's kind of a spinoff / continuation of that show where it follows DJ Tanner Fuller, who's a single mother who lost her husband. She's a veterinarian, and she moved back in with her father.
Did she lose her husband because she's a veterinarian?
No, he was a firefighter, and
I was going to say put a chip in him, and then you'd be able to find him.
No, unfortunately, he died. Serving or in a fire. We don't know for sure, but it's assumed that, or kind of implied that he died.
We don't know if he died. We don't know if he died.
No, we know he dies, but you don't know exactly how he died. Just it's kind of they kind of say it.
Maybe Kirk Cameron killed him.
But it kind of plays the same thing that Danny Tanner, his wife just died, and he has a newborn and two older kids, and then his brother-in-law and best friend move in with him, and they kind of raise the kids together.
You got it, dude.
So it's kind of the same idea. Everybody comes back for the first episode. Then everybody kind of leaves after that. And they come back. There's like little guest spots after that. But really it focuses on DJ Tanner, her sister Stephanie Tanner, who's actually a DJ, a disc jockey.
Stephanie is the second oldest, right?
Yes. So Stephanie kind of takes on the John Stamos, Uncle Jesse banner, where she's a musician, but she's a DJ. So the one of the running jokes is that she's DJ Tanner as well, because she's a DJ.
You don't get better comedy than that.
And then Kimmy Gibbler, kind of the annoying next-door neighbor, kind of plays the Joey role.
From Friends?
No, no, Joey Gladstone from the Full House, you know, the Dave Coulier's character. Goofball kind of guy.
I watched Full House, but not really. I didn't. I kind of binge watched it.
No, you didn't.
So I really didn't pay attention to it.
Michael Campion plays Jackson, the older son, is 13. I think the star of the show is Max Fuller, played by Elias Harger. He's like 7 years old, but I think he's probably a little older in real life. But he's cute. He's really funny. He does a great job. He kind of steals the show. And then there is Kimmy Gibbler's daughter, Ramona, and she moves in as well. And then there's a baby, Tommy Fuller, is kind of like the Michelle-ish, but he's like a baby, so he's played by twins.
That's why if you have twins, you got to get them in the TV.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I never understood why Kevin and Jody didn't get their twins in TV.
Yeah, that's where all that money is, you know.
Get it. Do it.
So there's 13 episodes total. The first episode is kind of like almost a, you know, where kind of catching everybody up to all of the characters. Everybody's in it. And then it kind of just sets up the show. The pilot sets up the show from that point on, where Stephanie decides to, you know, stop DJing and move in with DJ. And then Kimmy Gibbler moves in with
Hold on a second. She stops DJing to move in with DJ.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Is that the joke?
It's one of the jokes on the show.
Does it have a laugh track? Did it have a laugh track back then?
Well, it's a live studio audience, so they laughed. The studio
a live laughs. Studio audience.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can tell it's a live audience.
Now, was the live audience brought in there kicking and screaming, or did they come in there and say, okay, we'll do it?
No,
it
definitely felt like a genuine live audience. It didn't seem like a laugh track, a canned track, if you will. So, again, it's if you're my advice is, if you're a fan of the original Full House, it's not, you know, top flight comedy. It's not a Seinfeld. It's not a, you know, but again, but it's also not the worst thing in the history. It's not a Big Bang Theory, in my opinion.
You're really going to tick people off. You're saying the Big Bang Theory
is worse than Full House?
It's worse than Full House?
Yes.
Wow, really?
And I say that because Full House is a family comedy, in the sense that when we were kids, we used to watch TGIF and we used to watch Full House. We used to watch Full House.
Watch that Step by Step.
Step by Step, Family Matters.
Family Matters, and there's a fourth one in there somewhere.
Dinosaurs is another one I used to watch all the time. Yeah, back then.
We'd watch as a family.
Exactly, and it's so, it has heart. It's definitely like a
it's one
family
of those
focus.
You know, you're a parent, you go, gosh, why did I become a parent? I should watch Friday Night TV.
But I remember those times, and that was fun. Like, as a kid, that was fun. Like, as a family, watched shows together on Friday nights.
And there's really not that much for families to sit around and watch TV anymore.
Exactly, because it's all...
I could say that Mr. Robot would be a good family.
No, you can't, right?
Everyone, just bring the kids down. You can explain to them what's going on when he's doing his heroin, his cocaine and stuff. Was it heroin he was doing?
No, he was doing morphine.
Morphine, that's right. Morphine, yep. And you can explain to your kids what he's doing, but he's balancing out because he's taking pills to balance him out until he forgets. And I'm just kidding, of course. But...
Yes.
But there aren't... I mean, I'm trying to think, are there nights that you could sit around and have family TV?
Right. It's just there's not much. I mean, you could do some of the like the Wednesday night ABC, maybe, you could say.
But you couldn't have young kids because some of those things are pretty.
Yeah.
Because even Glee, I used to go, why are young kids watching this show?
Yeah.
It had some very adult themes. I'm not trying to be a prude, but it had some very graphic type things going on in that show. And it's, you know, when I was growing up a kid, we had the Wonderful World of Disney and stuff like that on Sunday nights. There was a lot of kids. You couldn't show certain shows before a certain time.
Yeah. So it seems like today there's either shows that are just purely for kids or shows that are purely for adults. There's not kind of a middle ground. So it was nice for this show. Just like a fun show to watch. It's cheesy. It's corny. It's cornball. But it was enjoyable. Like I really enjoyed it, and it definitely kind of became its own show after the first few episodes. I thought the first one was a little too reliant on nostalgia and a lot of calling back to old jokes. After that, I think it really kind of gets its own footing. And is an enjoyable kind of family comedy. If you liked Full House, if you liked the TGIF type shows, it definitely felt the same and was really enjoyable. Reviews, like critics have panned it, but from what I've seen from actually like people that watch TV, they've really enjoyed it. So for a binge worthy, I'm going to give it a binge worthy because I really enjoyed it.
I'm thinking I didn't want to make fun of it because I used to watch it because as we watched it as a family.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was sitting there thinking, I go, you know, when I was younger, when Gilligan's Island came back, I would watch the Gilligan's Island specials and the Brady Bunch come back. I'd watch the Brady Bunch specials. So who am I to criticize people when I did the same thing? Now, looking back, I go, I wish I could have got that time back. But, you know, it's just when you watch something like a Gilligan's Island, Brady Bunch, I'm trying to think of other shows that they did that where they come back.
Yeah, like a Brady Bunch, right? It's a family kind of comedy.
It's a family comedy.
Is it Citizen Kane? No, but no. It's like.
But you grew up with those characters, and I was seven. I was Bobby Brady's age. So when it came, you know, you grew up with those Brady Bunch. That was on for 5 years, and it never left. It's never been off the air.
Yeah.
So you kind of went, oh, okay, they came back. I want to see what happened to them. Like, you know, Andy Griffith, they came back, and they went back to Mayberry, whatever it was called. You just want to see sometimes, but as an older person now, it's like, I don't want Seinfeld to come back. No, just
yeah, leave. Well, I mean, but again, you look at like just the little things they did on Kirby
Larry
Enthusiasm
David.
Was fun.
Yeah, I get it, but not as a
sure.
You know, when Dallas came back, I watched the first season, but it just didn't work. Especially when Larry Hagman passed away too, it didn't work. Sometimes shows just are better just to.
I agree, but this one has been fun, so I would say it doesn't. To me, doesn't fall into that trap. That's what I would say. That's my two cents.
And I saw most people are pretty happy with it, so who am I to complain?
Yeah, there you go.
And I did mean to watch at least an episode.
Well, maybe you can talk about next binge watch. You can talk about it.
All right, yeah. Okay.
Which leads to what we're going to talk about 2 weeks from now on the next binge watch with Jay and Jack. It's time to fill our show hole, and we're going to fill it with none other than House of Cards, which is going to be unleashed on all of us this Friday, March 4th. On Netflix.
It's this Friday already?
Yeah, March 4th. It's going to be published for everybody, probably early in the morning, as they usually do it. And we will be talking about House of Cards for our next binge watch, which will be 2 weeks from now-ish. Should give everybody enough time to binge through the show.
We had an email.
Oh, nice. Is it in Lost Podcast email?
It's in the last one. I meant to tell you that.
But that's okay. I'll if you want to just vamp here a little bit, I will pull it up.
Vamp! I'm a vamp! The vamp is back. Used to be, I think, Sunday Sherry, she used to say, I'm a vamp.
No, vamp. It's Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
No, she goes, I'm a vamp. No, it was on the show, not on the thing. I'm trying to think of the, and now I'm losing, now you just threw me off top. Yeah, I know Gypsy, that song, but she used to
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
She used to sing it better than that. But she used to be on a piano.
I thought that was pretty good.
She's a vamp, and they did a little. She would sing, then they go to a sketch, then she'd come back. Sunny would be playing the piano, I believe, and she'd be on top of the piano singing. It'd be like a stand-up piano, not a
upright piano. Is what it's called.
Upright piano. Well, whatever it is, stand-up, and she'd be singing that vamp, bit of a tramp, something like that. Vamp.
Sure, was it? Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
That's not it. In fact, well, we could be losing Cher. She could be leaving the country.
Oh, is she? If Trump wins, is she leaving?
She's on the Trump side, and you got the Hillary Clinton people leaving. You know what? I think both sides. If anyone says they're leaving, they should just leave. It should be a rule. We should pass as a law. If you say publicly, "I'm leaving the country," if you're not willing to stick it out, you leave. What do you think? Good rule?
Well, I think it's simply if you don't like. Whatever the candidate is, don't vote for them. That's our democracy there.
You use everything in your power to persuade your friends, because you're going to probably do it on Facebook, and just persuade it. But if something, you know, obviously we can't get our way all the time. I think these actors, I think they're so used to getting their way.
They're it's not like going to really leave. They say it every political season.
I'm so sick of people saying that. And you see it on both sides.
But
Shut up.
I will say... I'm trust me, I'm not gung-ho about Hillary by any means, but Trump is something on a different level. He's something on a different level in terms of just how he's presenting himself.
Again, I'm an American, and I'll do whatever I can to make America as good as it can be.
Be careful. Don't say make America great again.
I did catch myself.
Yeah,
No, I'm serious. If you're going to, you know, I'm not saying America love it or leave it.
All right, we found the email here. I apologize.
And I didn't realize we weren't recording, and I think probably in the 10 years of podcasting, the best I've ever been.
All right, so this email is from Diane, and Diane Dane. So I keep...
You were very important for me growing up. I had that whole boy-girl thing.
Lovely.
That's a Wisconsin sunrise there. So I keep going over this in my mind because I think that Making a Murderer was binge-worthy, and I didn't think Narco was, but
all right,
why?
Hold on a sec. Let's just stop the email there.
Well, in all fairness, Making a Murderer was my pick, and Narcos was Jack, so...
So I'm going to say right now, if she doesn't like Narco, I'm leaving America.
So say here's what I've come up with. Maybe it'll help you. It made a bit more sense to me after I wrote it down. Why is a program binge worthy? One, you just got to watch it all because everyone else is, and it's a big thing in the media. Making a Murderer fits into this category. You want to be in the conversation. It's a better story when you binge watch it. Storylines and character development are enhanced by watching a whole show quickly. I think this is a Game of Thrones for me. Watching a little bit each week was not satisfying to me. And actually waited for most of it to be available and watched it over 1 week. It was more exciting. Following section character development was just more fulfilling and it made more sense. Three, the show is really a 12-hour movie and breaking into these almost arbitrary one-hour segments doesn't do the show justice. I wasn't so hot on season one of Leftovers until I rewatched it over 1 week. And it changed my mind about the whole show, and I loved it even more and more. The transitions are more obvious, character development made more sense, and it was just amazing. I never saw it as depressing. I just can't get over how great this show is, season one and two. I think the first two season of True Detective was the same. Number four, I need a show that fills in the background because I'm doing something while watching TV. Lots of shows fill this void. If I'm sewing or doing something else, I will binge watch something that is episodic, so I don't need to pay attention because the story from each episode is different. The Followers fits this for me. Blood, guts, law enforcement agents being beyond dumb. It's the same every episode. Number five, a show is not episodic. The story builds over the course of a season. Watching over a shorter period of time really highlights what is great about the show and what is bad. I'm sure there are other designations for categories of binge. Just some ideas. Oh, and Narco, I'm still not sure why I didn't like it. I found the story somewhat hard to follow. And again, that might have been too... It's mostly in Spanish. So if you're not like a subtitles type person, it can be a little bit tougher to follow. But since I'm born and raised in San Diego, only about 10 minutes from the border, I felt like, you know, I had a stronger connection to that maybe.
Maybe that's what it is. And well,
yeah. As a native San Diegan.
Mr. Robot, they're speaking. Is it French?
No, that was like Russian or something like that.
No, it was because she's. No, I don't think it was Russian.
Seemed Russian.
Was it Russian?
I don't know. I don't know if it was. Wasn't it? Just it felt Russian to me. It didn't feel French.
Felt
it didn't have the beauty of the French language.
It didn't have the beauty of the French language.
Yeah.
No, I think I think you're right, but I did say that if you have trouble reading subtitles, if you don't really like reading subtitles, but when you get into the show. If you're sewing and you're doing other things, then no, you're not going to be able to pay attention to it because you have to watch it because you have to watch the subtitle. You have to read the subtitles.
Yeah.
Because that's 50% of each, at least 50% of each episode.
Yeah.
Like I said, I go about halfway through the episode. I'm not even noticed. I'm hearing the voice in my head as I'm reading it, the subtitles, but I'm translating, if it makes sense, I'm translating their voice. Anyway, I'm trying to think what I'm trying to say, but. No, I disagree with 100%, and now I'm leaving the United States. I'm going to Canada.
Are you going to pull a Dale and leave the podcast?
I'm going to. No, I'll stay with the podcast. I'll go to Canada and speak Russian in Quebec.
There you go. Perfect. Anywho, yeah. So
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, I think it's good points to bring up. I think that's absolutely fair.
I would say that Making a Murderer was probably because it was what everyone was talking about. Mm-hmm. You did want to be part of the conversation because Facebook, it was all going, and they're still talking about it. Like I said, that's why Mr. Robot, I don't think, for me, it wasn't binge-worthy because I want to watch an episode once or twice. I mean, at least twice, not all at once. Just for me, because I would get more out of it.
Yeah, again, I think it's just more maybe for her. It didn't have that same feel. So, but again, all her points she made, I think, were completely valid. I think that's absolutely the main reasons why you binge the show.
I'm still leaving the country. but they were valid.
But other people out there, I think it's a good point with our binge-worthy ratings. Send in your feedback at lostpodcast@gmail.com if you agree or disagree with our binge-worthy ratings. I think that's very fair. If you agree or disagree, we'd love to hear your opinions on that. You can give us a call at 385-309-0311 or give us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. All right, now it's time for our last segment of the show, Rewatch, Rewind, Replay, and something and catch up. Jack, what are some other shows you're kind of running through right now?
Well, I'm just doing that Mr. Robot show.
Was that it? Was that all you just consuming?
I've been watching Billions. That show's gotten really good. Really good. I think you would like it. Even though you don't like Damian Lewis because you hate gingers, it has Paul Giamatti. And you hate bald people too.
Well, so, I don't hate him. I thought he'd be a great actor to play you.
That's right, you did say that. This is an excellent show. It's a little slow at first, but it's really gotten good.
Well, there you go.
I'm enjoying it. So if you haven't seen it, it's on Showtime, Billions. And Shameless, I've had to put Shameless on hold, but I'm almost caught up on Shameless this season. A little out there, a little different. Not for everybody, but it's a really good show.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. My show, Fixer Upper, it's kind of our new favorite side show in the house.
Which one's that?
That's the one with Chip and Joe from Texas. Really, really adorable, married couple, adorable kids. Just really, they're fun. They're fun people to watch, I think, makes it good. It's just they're very entertaining. But I also just love what they do with the homes. We have our eyes set on, what's our future home like? But I was like, I want a new build. I don't have to worry about fixing up a place. But I see them like, oh my God, we should just buy the crappiest place and then somehow enlist them to come to Raleigh to make it this amazing house.
If I had to do it over again, I would do that.
But again, you have to have somebody that is that good. Like it's probably hard to find somebody.
Whoa. You don't think I could do the stuff they're doing?
No. I mean, you could do it, but it'd be like
you don't like the floor I put in here. You don't like the.
I'm saying it looks good, but it doesn't look like HGTV good.
Oh, come on now! It's the floor not downstairs.
Like, it's not like Property Brothers good or Love It or List It good. Well, I mean, that's like pro.
The difference is well, they're using real hardwood.
I use the
laminate. If I use real hardwood, it would look that, and I could probably do that.
Sure. I mean, listen. All right. Okay. There's. The world needs there, ditch diggers too. Okay.
Obviously too, but I would have Kevin. And you can't tell me Kevin couldn't do what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. But again, they get that done in 3 weeks. Kevin because would take they, 7 they
have,
years.
They have 500 people.
I know, but Kevin wouldn't want anybody because he'd want to do it all himself. Yeah,
sure, we see the Property Brothers or we see Chip go and pulling something. Oh, I'll pull this down. Oh, let me eat this cockroach. Oh, no. And then she goes, let me go visit, what's the guy with the builds the wood stuff?
Clinton?
I think it's Clint.
Clint, yeah.
And he goes, oh, I didn't know you were here. Well, the camera's right in front of you. Who'd you think was going to show up every single time?
But again, I say I'm not knocking your skills, but it's like the difference between Dom DiMaggio and Joe DiMaggio. Okay, play baseball, but one is an all-time great, and the other one's
come on now. And let's be fair, I don't have the proper tools. I don't have everything.
Mentally and physically.
I don't. But I would build a house from scratch if I had to do it over again.
Build a new house, then. You're saying not to fixer-upper?
No, I'd do a fixer-upper.
Oh, okay. All right.
I want to do one.
Okay.
I think it would be, you know, like she said, your mom wants it. She goes, we would be good at this on a show like this. I go, no, because I'd be throwing things at you. I'd have the nail gun. Get away from me. I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that.
Oh, man. But anyway, so that's
you can hear me cussing when things aren't going right. Your mom loves that show, but she always gets mad because I don't like her. I think I've said this before. I don't like her art stuff sometimes.
I've liked it. Again, it's cool. Fits in with the Texas. She loves shiplap. I didn't even know what shiplap was before the show, but now I know what shiplap is. Not my style, but again, it's cool.
Do you ever watch Rehab Addict?
No.
Yeah, she's
no, big. Actually, I did. I watched it once, and I didn't enjoy it. I didn't find her that.
She's big on. Well, they're all big on reclaiming wood and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Not throwing anything away, which I've started doing. I go, I get that now. Or before I'd be, get this piece out of here. Just crap. But I'm hurt. I'm hurt that you didn't like.
No, I'm not saying. Listen, but that's a big undertaking. I would want like a professional.
I didn't say I was going to do your house. Said I'd do my house.
Then do your house. Feel free. You've already done your house.
Fine. Forget it.
You've done your house.
It's not done because it's revolving. It's always evolving because we watch these stupid shows. And you go, oh, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Why don't we do this? Stop watching these shows.
Oh, man. But anyway.
That's your favorite over Property Brothers?
No, my favorite would probably be Income Property, but that hasn't been on in a little while, so I haven't seen it in a while. But Income Property is a favorite.
You don't like the couple?
And
Barbie?
They seem too into themselves.
Well, I think that's how it sells the show.
But I would say Income Property, Love It or List It, and Fixer Upper. Those are favorites.
Okay.
So I think Hillary and I can't remember the other guy's name. I think they have good chemistry.
Of course, can't remember the ball-headed guy.
Well, he's almost bald. He has more hair than you.
He's hanging on. He's hanging on.
All right. Well, I think this is a good place to close out the show. Remember, next time on Binge Watch, we're going to be talking about House of Cards, which I think is binge-worthy in the sense that everybody's going to want to be talking about it.
Yeah. Hey, do you see your sister got a picture with Elijah Woods?
What? No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she sent. She goes. Let's see.
I must not have been in the text or something.
You're in the text, but you probably don't pay attention. The guy from Lord of the Rings is in front of us. The main dude, the elf thing. Cool. Frodo, and Heather goes, Frodo? Yes. Pretty sure it's him. Elijah Wood, Colleen says. He's a hobbit, LOL. Unless he's a clone.
Why don't you just ask to talk to him? She kind of took a picture of him stalker style.
And, oh, that's super cool, Colleen says. Take a picture, your mom says. No, fanboy in over him, though. No one fanboy. I can't read. I don't understand what you're saying. But it looks like him. Tyler's going to ask him, and I told him no. Tyler says, I asked him, and he said it was him.
Kayla said, him.
I creeped. He told me not to say anything. He's undercover. I think they were drunk. Colleen, ha-ha.
No,
Kayla.
I see it right now.
He's so short. Yeah, that's definitely him.
No, that's him.
You should have got a picture. They're at Disneyland with Elijah Woods.
That's pretty cool.
You don't get a picture with him?
He's trying to be incognito. But he's a pretty...
I just realized the other guy's Wilfred.
That's not Wilford.
I know, because Wilford's bigger than that.
Yeah, he's much taller. But anyway.
And he's British.
But anywho. Is that Wilford?
Is it Wilford? Maybe it is him.
It's kind of blurry. I can't tell. I mean, you can definitely tell one is Elijah Wood. But
we were at Disneyland with Julie Weiss, right?
Yep, and
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson. All right.
And her husband, Ed Hall. Hall. Grumble got his first name.
All right, guys, that is it for this week's Binge Watch. I want to send a special thanks to Tack from Tokyo and Eckhard Richter. We actually got in the items that are going to be part of the care packages for the $50 or more. Woo-hoo! And the showstopper piece from this package is the exclusive Jay and Jack studio headphones, which are really, really cool. I'm wearing them right now.
I'm not.
Oh, you have yours, too. You'll be getting yours shortly. I guess I'll see you Thursday. You can have Thursday. But really cool headphones and a few other things, but really, really neat. And those will be headed your way soon. All right, guys, that is it. We will see you next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.